Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Men's Perspective. And as always, I want to say thank you to the listeners and everybody who supports the platform. Tonight's topic is watchful eyes of voyeurism. So please, sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with a question of the night. Hey, what's up? We're back with the question of the night. And the question of the night is, how can anyone justify cheating? Now, I know you've heard this topic plenty of times, a couple of times on this podcast, and you know, several more times on different people's platforms. It is one of those topics that you can flip and have different opinions and add different questions and, you know, just branch off the word cheating. And for centuries, for decades, for eons, for years, for minutes, for hours, for seconds, people have been trying to justify why they cheat, me included. A lot of times, when I got cornered or questioned about my infidelities, I would act like you wasn't talking to me. Well, I didn't know what you was talking about. But as I got older, and then when I got cheated on, then I wanted to know the mystery myself. I wanted to know what was it to make you, if you got all of this, why you go over there and get that? And for several reasons, people dip. People feel like they need another person to make them feel good, to tell them they lost weight, to tell them that their food tastes good, to tell them that, or to listen to them when they're having issues at home. So it's universal. And I know that's crazy to say, but cheating is universal. It's one of those topics that's talked about every fucking day. And it's easy to do it, but it's hard to come out of it or to admit that you cheated. So that's why you find ways to just try to justify. Because to me, there's no justification for it. There's no reason for it. That's a choice. You chose to indulge in some type of flame with a coworker or somebody from your past that you ran across on social media. That's a choice. There's no justifying. And it's never a good idea. I don't care how good the person look, what they're offering, how attentive they are. Cheating is never a good idea. It's, trust me when I say this, and I had to learn this years down the line. Just say, hey, this ain't working. You ain't fucking me right. You ain't feeding me. You're not doing something to hold my attention, whereas this person who barely knows me or who knows what I like and who's willing to do it without me having to deal with some type of friction or back and forth with you, or sometimes a headache because I just need you to hold my hand, or I need you to give me a blowjob without you complaining or leaning to the side, acting like you're talking on the telephone. Trust me, it happens. So yeah, someone listen to you, someone say, hey, I can do this to you and you will never have to worry about not getting it again. First of all, it's confusing to hear that because you don't know how to handle that type of direct communication. Because normally you're not getting it. Because if you're talking to someone outside of your relationship, you're not getting the attention, or you're not hearing the words, or you're not getting that satisfaction that you need from your partner. Because if you were, you wouldn't even entertain anyone else telling you what they could do. Okay, you can do that, but I'm not the one you're going to do it with. I'm happy with my relationship. We're perfect. We may not be perfect, the perfect couple, but we are perfect for each other. That will be the most logical thing to say to someone who's trying to get with you. But if you stand there, if you give a person an opportunity to see that you are interested in what they're saying, you're done. You're cooked. Barbecue chicken. That person sees that and works that to their advantage. So there's no justifying cheating at no time. Because when you cheat, you're going to hurt that person in the relationship. Dishonesty in the relationship is a relationship killer. Believe that. It's draining. And when it happens, the cheater will try to often shift the blame to their partner with a series of arguments that sound like excuses, you know what I'm saying? But they're not really excuses. It just sounds like it. It just comes off that way. Another thing, your relationship will never be perfect again. I don't care. It's like a puzzle. Say if you have a puzzle, right? And you have a missing piece. And if you cheat, you not only ruin the puzzle, but you're never able to put that puzzle again, ever. Because if you lose that piece, I don't care how good it looks on the coffee table, there's always going to be a missing piece. And that's compared to if you cheat, that person might forgive you, but they ain't gonna never forget. Or they might forget, but they may never forgive you. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's how some people think sometimes. So if you cheat, the damage is done. You can't take it back. Because that person, I don't care if you get them $1 million and they spend $100,000. They're going to always remember you cheated. I don't care if you bought them a brand new car. They drive it off the lot and they take it to the car wash, or they ride it down the street and with the sun back and the sun is shining in and they hear a song on the radio. Guess what? They're going to remember that you cheated. So the damage is, you can't repair that damage. Another thing is karma. I never believed in karma until it happened to me. Now, I would acknowledge it and I would say, oh, okay, that might be karma. But then I was kind of like on the fence. But when this shit happens to you, when someone cheat on you, you never see it. And you're in the bed smoking a pack of Newports and the dog is looking at you like, I'm hungry. And they ain't ate in 2 days. You ain't took a bath in 3 days. You ain't ate. You can't sleep. All because someone has cheated on you. The law of karma is real. 100% real. If you cheat with the same person repeatedly, that betrayal will build up and your relationship is destined to end. Because you're taking that time away from your partner and placing it on someone else that you're cheating with. So there's nothing left with your partner, the partner that you're cheating on. You're taking all that energy from them, putting it with somebody else. But guess what? just when you're thinking everything is right, you work in a late shift, you call your girlfriend or your boyfriend, they don't answer that phone at 2 o'clock in the morning. Karma, baby. So on that note, I'm going to end the question of the night, and I'll be right back with the topic for tonight. Tonight's topic is watch for eyes for voyeurism. Voyeurism is a topic I try to steer clear of when I first started this. For me, there are two sides to voyeurism. There's two different types. There's the creepy peeping Tom, where you are violating someone's privacy. Then there's the voyeurism where you are like able to sit down with your partner and discuss all the parameters when it comes to this particular sex act. Meaning, look, for example, baby, I got a little freak in me. So I need you to sit there and play with yourself as I watch you get off. I'm gonna get off too. Your partner. Okay, baby, it's no problem. I'll do whatever I need to do to satisfy you. This is what you call consensual voyeurism. And that's the only type of voyeurism that anybody, everybody, if they're into it, should be practicing or should do. That creepy shit, I ain't never been with it. I've never cared for that. You know what I'm saying? I know a couple of people who have admittedly watched people without them knowing. And I accidentally walked in on some people. It was this guy. In the Navy. And he just would tell us all the time, yeah, man, my father was a pimp. So pimping is in my blood. And I'm like, man, it's not with that old fake ass Goldie Mac shit, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. So one day we was in Cape Canaveral, and I was on a ship that had women. So we went to, I think we went somewhere. I know it was in Florida, and if we stayed a couple of days, people normally would, you know, get hotel rooms to get off the ship. So everybody had like their own little parties going on. So this one guy who, the so-called pimp, well, I can't say so-called because I saw him pimping. The pimp had his own room. And he was the type where he hung out, but he hung out with only certain people. So he was like, come by when you get a chance. I got something for you. I said, okay. So we would just walk into the room. We were not gonna do, all right, I'm coming in, or yo, what's up? So I opened it, I knock on the door, open the door, and I see two of my coworkers, and we didn't work in the same department, but we was on the same ship. My ship, a female shipmate, having oral sex together in the 69 position. And he's sitting there drinking a bottle of wine. And like, man, you want to get in on some of this? I'm like, I bowed my head like a servant and say, no, master, I'm getting ready to go to the next room. I had to give it to him. I'm like, bro, you are a pimp. All that shit you talk is not shit. And I didn't stand there and, you know, with wide eyes and just, oh my God. I looked at him and got out the room. And do you know that these two young ladies, when they saw, whenever they saw me on the ship, they're like, hey, Petty Officer Robinson, how you doing? It was as if it didn't happen. It was as if he had mind control over these two chicks. And that's for another story. But all my children, I saw that. And it's one of those situations that lingers, that stays with you. But anyway, that was the only time I witnessed any type of voyeurism, because he was sitting there just watching, drinking his wine as they were chomping at the bits, so to say. Because it didn't fuck with me. It didn't fuck with me. But it was just different, because I saw it all the time on, you know, on DVDs and the internet. But to actually see two women of the same gender, I mean, the same gender together in a 69 position, and he's sitting there watching it. Now, I don't know if he did that for me, because he didn't come across as a showboat type. He wasn't flamboyant like that. He didn't felt the need to prove what people thought of him. You know what I'm saying? Well, he didn't feel like he had to prove anything to people. So, if anything, if he wanted to prove anything, I wouldn't have been the dude. You know what I'm saying? It would have been some other dudes who just, this motherfucker, he think he all that, blah, blah, blah. So, but like I said, that's for another story. Voyeurism is the act of receiving sexual gratification when others are naked or engaging in sexual activities, as those two young ladies were. The act is acceptable with all participants' consent. Consent. Huge word. Has a great... It means so much. But a lot of people don't believe in it, or don't choose not to ask someone or get permission before they advance and start doing things. They just feel like it's a free fall. And sometimes the majority of times, you have to let people know, hey, I want to do this, or, you know, is it cool to do this? And they have to give you some kind of yeah or no. And if it's no, you don't need to pursue it. You don't need to pressure that person. You just have to accept what they're saying. Is voyeurism worse than watching porn? No. In my opinion, no. And I'm only stating this because of what I witnessed in Florida that day. Because even though I didn't stand there and gawk at them, I saw them. I saw them just enough for that shit to be imprinted in my head 30-some years. Because it's been times I've seen, I've come across videos of women in that position, and it does nothing for me. It's entertaining, and it's like, oh, okay. But to see it, to see them locked in the 69 position, both of them satisfying each other, and I can hear them, and he's sitting there watching with his shirt open, some shorts and some sandals, and he's drinking some wine. Nah. He ain't got nothing on porn. Trust me. And I've never had nobody watch me. I can't do it. I've never participated in a threesome, never did it. Swing club type stuff. I mean, I've been to places where it pops off, but shortly after that, I immediately exit stage left, because that's not something I can handle. That's not something that I'm into. You know what I'm saying? And even if it was all females, I probably would still be leery. You know what I'm saying? Some men say it's the best sexual experience experience that you can ever have is being surrounded by multiple women and being the only man. But nah, because I don't want nobody watching me perform. Because to me, if I'm not going to watch you, don't watch me. There's nothing I need to prove to a room full of women, you know? So, but watching voyeurism is 100 times better than watching porn. Trust and believe. Most are quick to argue that voyeurism is definitely worse. But I guess that, you know, depends on who it affects, you know? Because after watching porn, it leaves you feeling for some dirty and guilty, which I don't understand, but, you know, maybe it's not my place to understand it. However, it's far different because it inflicts no physical or emotional harm. You're simply watching another person undress and do whatever they choose to do. What are the different types of voyeurism? Now, you got one type where people just kind of like, okay, example. You go to a naked beach, and even though you're on that beach, you're not participating or you're not getting naked. You're just watching others, you know, have a good time and be merry and just, you know, let it all hang out. Another one is kind of like nighttime, meaning that because it's dark, you use that as an advantage to conceal or to hide from the person that you're watching, which is creepy as fuck, especially if they don't know about it. You know what I'm saying? I think voyeurism among young boys and teenagers is very high. At that point in your life, your hormones kick in like crazy. So every little curve or everything a woman or a teenager does that, you know, can capture a male teenager or young boy's attention, it's gonna work because you're at that point where everything makes you excited, you know. And the other one is peeping toms, which I really don't want to talk about, but it is something that happens. And I think what makes it also ugly is using certain devices like binoculars or telephotic lenses beyond creepy. That's like along the lines of a sexual offense. You know what I'm saying? That's like a thing, like a misdemeanor. I don't know. I would have to look into that, but that's like violating. You know what I'm saying? Violating someone's privacy. You know? And pushing the boundaries. Pushing the boundaries in voyeurism pleasure. If intrigued by the idea of voyeurism, but you're not ready to enter the hardcore community, there are some things you can do to get the gist of it. Depending on the context, it can be as simple as watching someone walk through a door, or as kinky as watching someone masturbate with their permission. But voyeurism isn't just limited to watching people. It can also be an activity involving people, such as swingers or, you know, being on a nude beach. Even webcams, the little camera on top of your laptop or desktop, turn it on and have a session, you know, you can show all your goods, show your special gifts, you know, and probably make money. More than likely, you can make money from it. Because I know people, I know a couple of women who make money showing pictures of their feet. Yes, it is true. Women can make money off of showing their feet. And some other things they can do that's very, that's kind of despicable. I really don't want to go into that because that's a little bit more than what I want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, why voyeurism doing sex can be exciting. In my opinion, it's kind of like part of a fantasy. It adds to a fantasy. Many enjoy being looked at or being watched by their partner during sex. There's some people who actually get off, who can have incredible orgasms from having someone watch them do their thing, you know. Voyeurism during sex can even be thrilling for both parties. There's just something about a naked body by doing something intimate that just turns certain people on, get them to that highest elevation. Some people say it's weird, and it depends. Certain shit that you do can come off very weird, but if it makes you feel good, and that shit make you nut, then do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Do it. Enjoy yourself. You earned it. Hell. Types of consensual voyeurism. Asking your partner, can you watch them masturbate? Role playing. Think about a role play situation where you go, where you get to play a voyeur watching your partner in an erotic situation. Watch voyeurism pornography. It's very popular. When watching voyeurism porn, ensure the video featured two consenting adults and not a real hidden camera for your video. Make sure you, if you're gonna watch those type of content, make sure that both parties that's participating are okay with you watching them. Or if it's a video, you know, as far as like Pornhub, you can go to the category, and if it's there for your viewing, then you know, cool. But don't just watch people and they don't know. You know what I'm saying? Or watch your partner have sex with someone else. That's a hub. I mean, not for me when I saw those two women. But I can, you know, my pimp game ain't that strong. I can say, hey, go over there and, you know, get you some new dick. Nah. My ego just won't let me. And I listen to dudes, and they be like, yo, man, shit, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Shit, fuck over there and fuck that motherfucker. And I'm looking at them like, why you playing hard, bro? We know your character. We know you jelly donut soft. You ain't got the front. But a lot of guys will do that. They will make it seem like they okay with watching their partner fuck somebody else. No good and well, and she curves to that new dick. That old dick is out of there. You start asking questions. Let me get off that subject, because I'm going into different subjects, and I hate when I do that. But anyway, watching your partner have sex with someone else is another form of voyeurism. If you're in an open relationship, keyword, open relationship. If the relationship is open, then yeah, you can handle that. Because both of you know what can happen, how it can happen, when it can happen, why it happened, and how to handle it. Not let feelings get in the way. Not hold it against that partner that you say, hey, go over there, fuck that dude. Go over there and get with him, baby. Get with her, baby. And not come back 2 days later. Do you love her? I didn't like the way you were dicking her down. These just crazy scenarios that I'm throwing out there. But, you know, sometimes it goes off. It happens like that. So, is voyeurism harmful or helpful? I mean, harmless? Is it harmful or harmless fun? Depends. It depends who the person is. Some will say in itself it isn't harmful by nature. It isn't harmful or harmless by nature. It can be entertaining, alluring, even fulfilling if it's done with the right motives. Others think that it can be extremely damaging to a relationship. It can make you not want to be involved. It can drive a wedge between, have a great impact on someone's self-esteem. And if you're not ready for it, if you're not able to tell someone that you want to watch them, you know, participate in that type of sexual act, don't do it. Don't spy on someone. Don't, you know, walk up to somebody's window and just watch them. That's sure. People are supposed to keep their blinds and their doors and their windows closed. Yeah, I get it. But that still don't give you the right to invade their privacy. And plus, you can go to jail. Or you can get a ticket, or you can be charged with a crime, depending on what it is. So that's why I say voyeurism is it's one of those tricky subjects to talk about, because you can't go too far into it or speak on it too much, because then you start sounding like a creep. To yourself, you start sounding like, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to talk about it. Because I got a few topics that just marked in red that I didn't want to talk about. But I said, the more I talk about certain things, the more it has to be different. And I have to, you know, toe the line sometimes, you know. But that's why I do the research, and that's why I try to make it as as uncreepy, or, you know, try to make it as entertaining as I can. I don't want to be someone who just talks about cheating or creepy shit, or, you know, subjects that I'm not supposed to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So, with that, that is it for tonight. I want to say thank you to the listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you a million times. I don't know who the fuck be listening to my podcast, but man, y'all make a brother feel good. You make me feel like I'm doing a little something over here, you know what I mean? Because it jumps. And I do what I do as far as promoting that. I can promote a little bit more, and I think I'm getting ready to do that as far as like announcing what I'm gonna talk about. And then, you know, kind of like a day or couple of hours before, because when I first started, I used to do that, and then I felt like people wasn't really, you know, paying no attention. So I just went to, when I finished the podcast, and I just go ahead and, you know, do my graphic designs, put everything together, do my fonts and my colors, and, you know, do my keyword search and all like that, put it together and just publish content. So, it's a lot, but, you know, I enjoy doing it. There are days when I can get two or three podcasts done and have them lined up, you know what I'm saying? So that way I won't be waiting till the last minute to do it. But sometimes waiting till the last minute is better for me, know what I'm saying? So it all depends on my mood, you know. But anyway, man, thanks. Thank you to everyone for the support. Continue to listen, like and share. Still writing this book. What gets me, what fucks me up, is when I read different articles on how to write, as far as eliminating verbs and adverbs and getting rid of connecting words like and but and I, you know what I'm saying? Certain things you, to make the story more interesting or to make it sound like it makes sense, it's certain things you have to do as a writer. And because, like I said, when I first did the book, I was like, well, nothing. But then when I read it back, see, one of the things I do is I listen, I play my book back to me. And when you hear it, and if it makes you cringe, then you, me, automatically, I go through the whole thing. And that's why it's been such a long process. Now, that first book I put out, the short one, I just said, fuck it. I wasn't gonna, you know, let nothing throw me off. I was gonna type it up, edit it, and put it out. And that's what I did. But when you got like 15, 20 stories, they can't all sound alike. They gotta make sense. You can't have the same sexual position. You can't just have sex. You gotta have a little romance. You gotta have a little foreplay. You gotta have a little buildup. All the stories can't sound alike. You can't have the same looking woman. You can't have the same short hair, light skin, big titties, big ass woman. So that's my Achilles heel, is trying to make it sound good, trying to make it, when I put it out there, feel satisfied and good about what I, you know, worked on. So, but it's coming. It is coming, trust me. The book is coming, I say it. Anyway, man, y'all have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Hit me up at wherehespeakserotica@gmail.com. If you got anything you want to talk about, anything you want to critique me on, just long as you're respectful. Thanks. Another thing, I forgot about this guy. I said Dr. Rufus is my mentor, but this guy, Michael Baisden, I really don't listen to him that much, but his books, Men Cry in the Dark, classic. I cannot find that book. I had that book for years and I can't find it. I think I'm just going to have to buy it again. But I don't, I'm just saying, shout out to that dude for, he kind of like helped me as far as writing too. You know what I'm saying? And I just came across his Facebook page and I saw some stuff that was interesting. But if you get a chance, check him out. Michael Baisden. And on that note, man, y'all take care of yourselves and I'll talk to y'all later.